"Your Holiness," Corus replied, choosing his words more carefully than he'd ever chosen words in his life before. "You're right, I was Prince Hector's spymaster. But if you'll forgive me for saying so, my perspective from a single princedom that far from the temple couldn't possibly be the same as your perspective from right here, at the heart of all of Mother Church's concerns, and at the focus of all of the avenues of information Mother Church possesses. I'll admit I've spent a lot of time trying to analyze the information I do have in an effort to anticipate what it is you and the Chancellor have called me here to explain. I'm not foolish enough, however, to assume for a moment that I have enough information to make any sort of truly informed deductions. I can think of several aspects of Prince Divan's current situation which might require clarification. But without a better understanding of precisely how Prince Divan, and I, of course, can best serve Mother Church, I truly don't know how you and Vicar Zompson may wish to proceed." Trinair's eyes had flickered with what might have been irritation when Clinton spoke up. Now the Chancellor sat back in his own chair, folding his hands together on the table before him, his expression thoughtful. Clinton, on the other hand, gave Corus an oddly triumphant little smile, as if the Earl's response had passed some sort of test.
"We're naturally relieved to learn you've been thinking about how best Divan and you yourself can serve Mother Church," the Grand Inquisitor said, and the emphasis on the word "you" was as unmistakable as the glow in his eyes. "I feel confident we'll be able to rely as fully upon your intelligence and diligence as Prince Hector ever did."
"And we'd damned well better be able to, eh, Your Holiness? Is that it?" Corus thought trenchantly. However intelligent Clinton might actually be, he was dangerously transparent in at least some ways. Of course, when a man controlled all the levers of power that came together in the office of the Grand Inquisitor, he could probably afford a certain degree of transparency, at least when it suited his own purposes to come straight to the point. "I'll certainly do my very best to justify your confidence, Your Holiness," he said out loud.
"Then I hope you'll understand what I'm about to say reflects no lack of confidence in you personally, my lord," Trinair said.
Corus looked back at him, and the Chancellor shrugged very slightly.
"Under the circumstances, the Grand Vicar deems it best to formally vest authority as Prince Divan's regent in the vicarate, rather than in any secular noble. His father was martyred by the champions of apostasy and impious heresy. The Grand Vicar believes it is incumbent upon Mother Church to openly and expressly extend her protection to Prince Hector's heir."
"Of course, Your Holiness," Corus replied. He was confident Trinair would assume, accurately, that he recognized that business about Grand Vicar Eric as pure fiction. Trinair had hand-selected the current Grand Vicar from a short list of suitable puppets years ago, and if Eric had ever cherished a single independent thought since assuming the Grand Vicar's throne, that thought had undoubtedly perished of loneliness long since.
"In many ways," Trinair continued, "that change will represent little more than a technicality. As I suggested earlier, there's no need to further destabilize young Divan's life at this time. Better to leave him where he is, under the care of someone he trusts and knows is looking out for his best interests."
"Especially if the someone he trusts is looking out for the interests of the Church, or of the Group of Four at least, instead," Corus thought.
"And to be frank, my lord," Clinton said, "we're of the opinion that it won't hurt a bit to have a man with your particular set of skills and experiences watching over him."
Corus looked at him, and the Grand Inquisitor shrugged his beefy shoulders.
"After all, Caleb's already murdered the boy's father. There's no telling when someone like him, or that bitch Charlian, might decide the time's come to make a clean sweep of the entire House of Dakin. I understand they're confronting considerable popular unrest in Coruscant. They might just come to the conclusion that it would be a good idea to remove young Divan as a potential focus for the more restive elements of the princedom's population.
I see, Your Holiness. Corus prayed that the icicle, which had just danced down his spine, wasn't apparent to either of the vicars.
Obviously, I discussed Prince Divan's security with King James before I left Talkeira. As you say, I don't think we could be too careful where his safety is concerned. And I assure you that once I return to Delphirac, I'll exercise personal oversight of his security arrangements.
Good!
Clinton smiled broadly.
I feel confident our decision to rely upon you and your judgment will prove well-placed, my lord.
As do I, Trinair seconded. In the meantime, however, we have several other points to discuss, the Chancellor went on. I'm sure it will take us several sessions to cover all of them, and you will, of course, remain the temple's honored guest until we've completed them. For the moment, what we'd really like to do, though, is to pick your brain a little bit. Obviously, we've had many reports about the situation in Coruscant and the attitude of the Coruscantian people, but you're a Coruscantian yourself. And one who was extremely well-placed to see the consequences of Caleb's invasion from Coruscant's viewpoint. No doubt there have been many changes since your own departure from the princedom, but you still represent a priceless resource from our perspective. There are many points on which we would greatly appreciate hearing anything you can tell us. For example, which of Prince Hector's, I mean Prince Divan's now, nobles do you think would be most likely to organize effective resistance against the Carisian occupation?
Well, I can see this is going to take some time, Corus thought dryly. Still, best to be careful about how we proceed, especially when we don't know how much information they've already got.
That's a complicated question, Your Holiness, he began.
I can think of at least a dozen of Prince Hector's closer allies among the Coruscantian knights who are almost certainly thinking in those directions. Without a better feel than I have at this time, please do recall that I've been traveling for the better part of 4 months, which has prevented me from setting up any sort of proper network. I would suspect those farther from Manchir would be in a better position to act upon such thoughts, however. Bearing that in mind, I'd be inclined to think the Earl of Stormkeep and the Earl of Craggy Hill have probably already begun to take steps along exactly those lines. Neither of them are going to feel particularly well-disposed towards Caleb and Charlian, and both are located well up to the north, out of easy reach from the capital. Moving back to the south and west, he continued, I wouldn't be dreadfully surprised to find Earl Blackwater, that would be Sir Adulfo, the new Earl, is headed in the same direction. For that matter, the Duke of Barcaire is probably similarly inclined, and